That is so true. No one could possibly care for us like Jesus. You're here today and you say, well, nobody cares. There's one that does care. No doubt about that. I'm sure there are others that care as well, but certainly the Lord Jesus, no doubt about it, He cares. And praise the Lord that He does. That is wonderful. Well, James 4 is a familiar passage of Scripture, and the Bible says the folks here in verse 13, they're saying, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, we'll continue there a year, we'll buy, we'll sell, we'll get gain. This is what we're going to do. This is our plan. We're going to do all these things. And then God wants to remind us all that ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The other day, a Wednesday night service, I walk in and Brother Clark Bennett met me at the door and he said, well, I'm still a vapor. And that was good. I mean, that is a good reference to this verse. That's what our lives are. They're just a vapor. So we really, for us to say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all of that. But then he explains in verse 15, he says, "For here's what you ought to say. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Now you notice in verse 13, we will. But what we ought to say is, if the Lord will. In other words, we ought to be saying, God, I yield to your will. And he says this, he says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And but now you rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Obviously, the idea of well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I've prepared for this and now I'm going to, you know, what we ought to stop and say is, God, I yield to you and I want to do your will. But I kind of go away from that, but I stay with it a little bit as well. Because verse 15, it got my attention, and what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And I thought about that, and I've entitled the message this morning, We Shall Do This or That. And somebody not too long ago, they were driving in the mountains and in mountain areas, and they had their GPS on, and you know, sometimes little paths and dirt roads can be a little confusing and everything, anyway, they seemed to be following the GPS, and they got off on a little road, and it seemed like they were getting higher and higher and higher and kind of winding on this mountain, and it was really getting to be not a good road at all, and all of a sudden on the GPS it said mountain, turn around now, you know, that'll get your attention. I mean, it's good that it finally figured it out. But don't trust those completely, folks. You might drive off into an ocean or something. You never know. But I think about, you know, thank God our lives aren't directed by a GPS. Thank God we have a God in heaven who wants to, He has a will. For you and I to say, if the Lord will, is to say, God, I know you have a will. And I know that you have a desire. And God, if you will, we shall live. Amen? Because our life's a vapor. It can go out at any time. Anybody in this room. Not just, you know, we all think, well, you know, the older you are. No, anybody. And if the Lord will, we shall live. But then he says, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The this or that is found in this verse. Our graduates have reached a great achievement. They've gone to school 12, maybe 13 years. If they went to K-4, 14 years. And they've graduated from high school. That's a great achievement. Our college four-year degree, that's doesn't always mean it took 4 years. It might have taken 5, 6, maybe 7 to get that four-year bachelor's degree. Some, it may take even less. We have a couple that are working on that for next year. And there are folks all over this room that have had great accomplishments this year. And you've had great victories in your life. But now comes this or that. You know, if the Lord will, we'll live. And if the Lord will, we'll do this or we'll do that. And I want to talk to you about this or that. Father, I pray that you'll bless now the service. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've pastored a long time now. I've given a lot of counsel a lot. I enjoyed being with Brian and Cheryl yesterday evening. It was the only time we could have their premarital counseling. And we had a good time talking about marriage and talking about their future and everything. And I've done that for many, many years, counseled folks about jobs, about their finances, about heartaches and sorrows and all kinds of different things like that. And one of the toughest things, though, is when they come in and say, okay, I have a choice of this or that. And this isn't necessarily bad, and that isn't necessarily bad. And this isn't necessarily better than that. And that isn't necessarily better than this. But this or that is something that we all have to decide. We have graduates trying to decide, well, will it be this or will it be that? Which degree? They'll go to a counselor when they go to college, and the counselor will say, well, what do you want to do? You know, and it's not like it was when you were five, and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because they are grown up. And it's going to be a matter of this or a matter of that. And it's not just for college graduates and high school graduates. It's all of us every day. Monday we'll have a this or a that in it. And so will Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And it'll be summer. And I keep saying it'll be so. It is summer for two more months, a month and a half maybe. And it'll be summer. And then it'll be school time. And students will, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to take this or am I going to take that? Am I going to be involved in this? Am I going to be involved in that? Am I going to play soccer? Am I going to play basketball? Am I going to play volleyball? What am I going to do? Will it be this or will it be that? And, you know, just like Clark said, your heart's beating, you're breathing today, you're still a vapor. And therefore, there is a this or that in your near future. Let me give you some verses real quick in introduction. Proverbs 20, verse 24 is a good verse about this. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now again, we go back to James, and James says, don't boast about your own way. Nothing to boast about. You don't know when that vapor is going to be gone. You don't know when it's going to vanish. So Proverbs is very clear. Man's goings are of the Lord, and the Lord has a plan for our lives. And so how can a man then understand his own way? It's in the Lord's hands. And by the way, we don't necessarily understand our own way. We need God to show us our way. And then again, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. And again, how can a man know his own way? Well, the steps of the Lord are ordered. I'm looking ahead here. They're ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. By the way, they're not only ordered, but they're also overruled. Amen. Amen. A man can't, well, how can I understand my way? I thought I was supposed to go this way, but God told me to turn left here, and there was something great up there. Yeah, but God told you to turn left, so go left, and there's something better there. Okay, so God orders our way, but he also overrules what we want. Jeremiah, what did I say? 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, another excellent verse about this. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't have it in us. We don't have a GPS that is built in and just right in tune with God that's just automatic. There is a yielding to God and a yielding to the will of God that must take place in our lives. It's not in us to direct ourselves. That's why God said, what a foolish thing for you and I to say, this is what I'm going to do. What a foolish thing for us to say, okay, here's what I'm doing, and this is what I'm going to be doing in 20 years, because I know, no, you don't know. Amen. But he does know. That's why we should yield to him. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, back in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. And then one more. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. James is telling us, don't make your plans away from God. Look, you just graduated from high school. You've got all these big ideas, but do not say, God, I don't care what you say. Because God says, foolish. That is not going to work, because there is going to be a this or a that, and you don't want to choose the wrong one. I don't want you to choose the wrong one. I don't want to choose the wrong one. And so we need God. The Bible's very clear. We need him to direct our ways. And then we go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5, and that's actually where the message is from. Proverbs 3, familiar two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Little songs have been written about that. You know them. We know them. And but again, I want to show you four things when it's between this or that. Four things when you've got to decide. It could be, this could be terrible. That could be wonderful. This could be a sin. That could be righteousness. This could be good. That could be good. And the tough thing is, you know, I want to go the way God wants me. I want to do what God wants me to do. And it is foolish, James said, if we do anything else but that. For you and I to say, as human beings, this is what I'm going to do, is a very, very... I've preached a lot of funerals, too many funerals. And most of the time it is a sudden, shocking kind of a thing. I've preached many funerals like that. Wow, we thought we would live to be... I've talked to so many about to die. Well, I thought I was going to be... Yeah, listen to me. It is not up for us to decide any of that. It is totally up to God. And therefore, we need to yield to His will and then do this or that. Well, which one? Let's show you. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Number one, leave your cares. Leave your cares. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I wish I could get everybody to understand that. I wish every teenager would understand. He careth for you. Well, I God doesn't know about, He doesn't know what I want. He doesn't know about, He knows you better than you know you. He cares about you. He cares about every aspect of your life. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God cares for us. He cares for us like a father cares for a child. That's in the Bible. He cares for us that way. He cares for us like a father that will protect his child. God's going to protect you. Well, if I surrender my life to God, He'll make me a missionary to the South Pole. Look, if by the way, if He does, it'll be quiet. You'll have a very quiet life, I think, and not a lot of outdoors work. But you know what? Trust Him. Trust Him. Leave your cares with Him. Okay, Lord, I care about this, and I care about this, and I care about this, but I yield to You, and I leave all that with You. And You know me better than I know me. Again, you cannot even begin to imagine as a teenager what you're going to be when you're 25 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old. You think you've got it figured out. God says, don't think like that. Yield. All of us. Every one of us, doesn't matter who we are, He cares like a father cares for his child. In Isaiah 49, He cares for us like a mother cares for a baby. Yes, He cares that much. He cares. Mom knows when it's feeding time, you don't just ignore the baby. You feed the baby. Amen. When the baby has a fevered brow, the mom is in there caring for that baby. And it says in Isaiah, God says, I will not forget thee. And just like we don't forget our babies. Well, I did once, but we're not supposed to. By the way, I did, but the mom didn't. I'm just saying, that's how God cares about us. Like a father for his child, like a mother for a baby. In Isaiah 27, the Bible says that God cares about us like a gardener cares for his garden. Yeah, I mean, he'll keep that garden watered. He'll take care of it. She'll pull the weeds out of that thing. Why? Because we want those crops to grow. By the way, when you're pulling the weeds out of the garden, sometimes it disturbs the plant next to the weed, and you're pulling that weed out, and it kind of jostles. You say, I don't like it. Well, but praise God, get rid of the weed. But He cares. He cares. You know, I don't know if you're gardeners or not, but I guarantee if you have a garden and you want to see something come up, and you want to eat it one of these days, you'll take care of that garden. Let me tell you something. God wants to see something come up in our lives. God wants fruit that, and not just fruit. He wants fruit that remains in our lives. God cares about us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's very concerned about what we do. He's very concerned about what you do. You say, well, I just want to get out there and make a lot of money. But God knows where the money is. He also knows where your blessings are. And He knows where you'll be happy. And He knows where you'll be content. And He knows where you'll be able to serve Him in the most effective way. Listen to me. He cares. Leave Him your cares. Leave your cares with Him. He cares for us like a father cares for a child. A mother cares for a baby. A gardener cares for a garden. He says in Deuteronomy 32:10, He cares for us like the eyelid cares for the eye. Yeah, we're the apple of His eye. You know, that the pupil and the eyelid smears tears over it and gets junk out of it. And when it's dry and dusty, all you have to do is blink and there will be a tear that will come over that and that will cover that and take care of that eye. And God cares about us. And when you start feeling dry and dusty, God cares enough to help you out. And to water you and to care about you and to love you. And when you're in pain, God knows how to comfort you. I mean, He cares. Cast your cares on Him. Leave your cares. And then He cares for us like a friend. Proverbs 17:17, like a friend cares for a friend. A friend loveth at all times. A friend is born for adversity. Isn't that great? That's a wonderful verse. A friend. Why do I have a friend? Your friend is there for when you have adversity in your life. That's a real friend. I some people don't really have any real friends. A real friend, though, they're there for adversity of the other person. So not to be the adversity, hello, but to be there for them when they go through adversity. But even more so is our Father in heaven. He's there for that adversity. He's there for that trouble. Oh, you know, God wants me to be a missionary and I don't think I can take it. To go to another country or to be involved like that by faith. And what are you saying? God can't handle it? Are you saying God can't take care of you? No, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be there. He'll take care of you. He'll meet your needs. He loveth. A friend loveth at all times. Friends don't care if you have a zit on the end of your nose. Amen? Friends don't care if you're grouchy. Friends don't care if it's just a tough time. Friends are there at all times. They are born for adversity, and that's our God. How many times today already has He forgiven you? Amen. How many times? How many times this past week did He forgive you? How many times did you get on your knees and say, oh God, I did this and I should not have done that. And there He is. He's there in the next moment. He's got His arms right around just saying, I love you. See, you can cast your cares on Him. Leave your cares. Amen. Look, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All of your heart. And leave those cares with Him. Like Abraham, when God called him to leave, he left all. He looked for a city, the Bible says, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And totally trusting God. He didn't have any idea what was ahead of him. That's what we need to do, folks. You say, oh, you just want me to be in full-time Christian service. I want you to be in God's will. More than anything else, I want you in the center of God's will, where He wants you to be. And the way you're going to do that is just leave your cares. That means that whatever mountain is in front of you, then you don't worry about it. That means whatever valley is ahead, you don't worry about it. That means the trials, the heartaches, the what ifs, the this or that, that maybe doesn't look too appealing. Listen to me. You just say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. It's like Job. He had to leave his cares with the Lord. Though He slay me, yet will I what? Trust. I'll trust Him. Though He slay me, I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust the Lord. And like Noah did, when God said, Noah, I need you to build an ark. While you're building, preach. Amen? While you're building, preach. And the more Noah built, it was a testimony. The world hated it. And the more people hated him, the more made fun of him, the more mocked him. But you know what? Noah just kept building the ark. Why? Because he trusted him. He trusted him. You know, I'm sure that the clubs didn't invite Noah to join them. I'm sure that all the folks there, you know, the religions didn't want Noah to come and speak at their religious meetings. I'm just saying, folks, you got to learn to trust Him. We must trust him. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, as far as Noah was concerned, and all of these is simply by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. Leave your cares. God, I trust you. It's just like when your children were little, or maybe they are still little, and they want to fall in your arms. You know, they're standing up on the couch or something. Daddy, catch me. You know, and you're across the room. Ah, you know, and here they come. But they trust you. They'd fall into your arms no matter what. You know, you have a broken arm. They'll still fall in your arm. And then they'll fall to the floor. And they'll only do it once. But I'm just saying, you know, that's our God. We can trust him. Leave your cares with him. Because here's the thing. He knows this or that. He knows everything that this contains. He knows all about this. And he knows all about that. He knows every detail of this. Okay? He already sees that. He sees ahead to what this will be 5 years from now. He knows what this will be 10 years from now. He knows what this will be 20 years from now. Oh, he knows what this will be when you have to decide who you're going to marry. He knows what this will be when you have to decide what your vocation is going to be. He knows what that will be 10 years down the road. He knows what that will be 15 years down the road. He knows what that will be after 35 years of marriage. He knows. He knows all of that. And why wouldn't we just say, God, I'm going to leave my cares to you. I'm going to leave it with you. And I'm going to let you take care of it. I'm going to trust you. I wish you would. I wish you would. Do we only trust God until we get what we want? Because all thine heart means give him everything. It means give him everything. You know? Well, one of the most frustrating things when I counsel people is hearing the words, well, I've been trusting him, because that follows with, but I can't anymore. Why? Why? All your cares, everything. Casting all your cares upon him, for he. Don't doubt today how much he cares for you. Don't doubt today that he loves you. He loved you enough to send his son to die for you. Number one, leave your cares. Number two, lean on Christ. Lean on Christ. I said, number one, leave your cares, and that is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But number two, lean on Christ. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Oh, how many people are in trouble because they're leaning on their own understanding. We just read verses. We don't understand. Okay, there's this and there's that. But we don't understand. And if we lean on our understanding, we'll choose this when we should have chose that. Or we'll dive right into that, and boy, we should have been in this. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean on Christ. You know, what would Daniel's understanding been about the lion's den? I'll tell you my understanding of the lion's den. Run! I don't want to be a meal to lions. Okay? I that would be my understanding. But what am I going to do? I've got to lean on Christ. Well, God, you've obviously put these hungry lions there in that den, and you've obviously put me in a position where I'm going to be thrown in there. That's what Daniel did. Now, his own understanding is, okay, these are lions. Okay, that's one way to reason things. Two, these are hungry lions. He could probably hear their guts growling before he went in, right? And they were hungry. Don't listen to the liberals. You know, the liberals say, well, they were all old and feeble and they weren't hungry. Well, the Bible said, makes it very clear that the ones that were harassing Daniel, when they got thrown in, their bodies were torn to shreds before they reached the bottom. That's a hungry critter. Okay, so these are lions. These are hungry lions. Their teeth are sharp. Their claws are sharp. Again, we know that because they became shredders a little bit later on. Right? Now, Daniel's under, okay, if I go in there, I'm dead meat. You are, Daniel. That's exactly right. Unless you lean on Christ. Now, folks, honestly, how many things would we have done had we just leaned on Christ? How many times was it this, but this didn't look too good? How many times was it that, but, you know, here's the way I understand that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do you, you know, in your own understanding, okay, this is a red hot fiery furnace. In fact, it's 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And the guards are going to throw them in, and the guards get extinguished before they even get to the entrance. It's that hot. So as you're getting close to this furnace, you can only imagine that it's hot. Amen. You're bound. What is going to be their understanding? Their understanding is, we're going to die. Right? But you know, if they decide, okay, I'm not going to try to figure this out myself. I'm not going to try to, because can we figure it out? You get thrown in a red hot fiery furnace, you're going to die. I mean, our bodies aren't made to take that. Amen? It just doesn't happen. I mean, I'm grilling food, and I like to get the grill real hot, and all my hairs get singed just with a grill. So in my mind, if I'm thrown in that grill, which would have to be a lot larger, I'm going to die. But see, we can't lean on our understanding. That's why we need to lean on Christ. And when things come up in your lives, Paul and Silas, you know, in the jail at Philippi, it just doesn't look good for them, does it? But they go ahead and sing victory in Jesus anyway. Right? Hey, Paul, things don't look good, do they? No, but you know what I've decided? I'm not going to try to figure this thing out. I'm not going to try to understand yay, nay, or whatever. I'm just going to lean on Christ. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. By the way, guess what? That doesn't make sense either. I can't even understand that. Can you? I can't understand why Jesus would come and die for me. But I'm going to lean on Christ because he did. See, the thing is, when you say this or that, what am I going to do? This or am I going to do that? We the best thing in the world we can do is lean on Christ because our understanding is so limited. So limited. You know, folks, I'm trying to figure this out, trying to figure that out. How about getting on your knees and spending some time with God and say, God, I'm leaning on you. I'm trusting you. One of the first Christian songs I learned after I got saved when my wife and I got involved at the church in Marion, Indiana, was Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean on Jesus. And that wasn't just a song. By the way, that's why good Christian songs are important, because they actually can speak to your heart. Learning to lean is such a good truth of the Scripture. And we've got to lean on Christ. You know, the world doesn't have that. It's amazing how we as Christians can lean on the Lord Jesus. The world has no clue. You say, boy, they made a bad decision. Boy, that guy made a bad decision. I read in the paper all the time. You know, this guy, the guy that broke into our church, that was a bad decision. Right? You know, I mean, all these bad, why are they making all these dumb decisions? I understand why they do. I don't understand why we do. I say that to myself often. Why? What in the world were you thinking? Well, it was a problem. I was thinking. And sometimes instead of thinking, you ought to be leaning.
Amen.
Amen. Anytime you say, I don't understand, just recognize that's true. Now lean. How can we understand when a loved one dies? How can we understand when a loved one is sick, as Al Moran was all those years and in a nursing home? How can we understand? We can't understand that. It's not even possible. What do? We do what Kathy did. We lean. That's what you do. Huh? Because if you lean on your own understanding, here's what happens. You get bitter. Bitter. And you know what? That affects everything. That affects your family. That affects your life. And this or that, you talk about confusing. You talk about a fog. This or that is never clear, because you've quit leaning on Christ. Lean on Christ. You know? It's just like our salvation. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's because that's how we understand it. Here's what seems right to me, okay? This makes sense to me. And probably all of you would agree. It makes sense, okay? All my good works are going to be put over here on the scale, and all my bad works are going to be put over here on the scale. And whichever one outweighs the other, if the good works outweigh the bad works, then I go to heaven. And if the bad works outweigh the good works, I go to hell. Now that makes sense to me. Okay, that's how I understand it. But it isn't like that. It's not like that at all. In fact, it's totally the opposite of that. You know why I can't? It's so wrong? Because I think I have good works. Y'all with me? That's where it's wrong in our scale there. You say, well, don't we have good works? No. No, the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. so, So, wait a minute. That tips the scale this way. I'm in trouble. That's exactly where we need to be.
Amen.
Is realizing we're in trouble. That's why it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus died on the cross and God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, at salvation, what do? We lean on Christ. I can't save myself. I need you to save me. If you've never done that before, please, 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 before you leave here, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, a child doesn't understand. That's why God gives him parents. Amen? And he has to lean on his parents. And, you know, a child wants to reach for the pan on the stove. That's why there's parents there. Because they don't understand. And you don't want them to understand the hot boiling water on the stove in the way that they will never forget it. Trust me, Poindexter, not a good idea. Okay? We you know, again, a child thinks they can run out in the middle of traffic. I don't know if they somehow have this idea that the cars will all stop or what, but they don't understand. And we want them to learn by listening to us and leaning on us. God's the same way. Why do we want to hurt ourselves? Lean on Christ. Lean on Christ. It is so important because this or that, he knows. He's an expert. He's an expert at this. He has dealt with this since eternity, since the beginning and before that. Amen? He knows that. I mean, he knows it inside and out. Why in the world would we think about our own understanding that's just going to get us in a lot of trouble? Lean on Christ. Number three, learn his counsel. Learn his counsel. So important. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Learn his counsel. What do I do? Ask him. Now, Lord, here's this. Describe it. I mean, go into detail with him. Here's this, Lord. And I want to compare it with that. And just learn his counsel. To acknowledge is to recognize the authority or the claims that he makes. Is he the counselor or not? Huh? He is. Is he the Almighty God? The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? Prince of Peace. Yes, he is. Then in all thy ways, acknowledge him as the authority. Acknowledge him. You are the authority. He is the authority on every subject. Every this there ever will be in your life, he's the authority. And every that, he is also the authority. Every subject. It's up to us to yield to him as the authority and learn his counsel. Well, what does he say about this? And what does he say about that? And what a blessing it is, you know, because he is the authority. I don't even know how many laser surgeries I've had on my eyes. And I was thinking about this recently when I had some issues with my eyes and I was thinking about, you know, maybe I could just figure this out. Could you imagine me in a mirror with a laser trying to do what they did? Yeah, I'll save a lot of money here. All I need is that little dilation junk to put in my eye and get that pupil, get it real big, you know, so I can see in there like they do. And then all I have to do is just find the right little doohickeys to zap. One time they zapped me, it was over 75. In fact, there was one that was like 105, wasn't it? Zzz, 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 zzz. Pretty soon I heard, sound like bacon frying. I thought, I wonder what that is. Oh. I can just see me doing that to myself. Zzz, zzz, zzz. And my ears burning, you know? I mean, you'll get it later on. Ask your wife, she'll tell you. But I'm just, folks, learn his counsel. You know, he knows everything. He knows it all. I had my gallbladder removed years ago. And can you imagine? Well, I'm going to save some money. Yeah. Several folks have had theirs removed recently. You should ask me. I'm experienced. Of course, I slept through the whole thing, but it'll be all right. Yeah. Doityourselflegal.com. You've just been arrested. And you could go to jail for 25 years. And you decide, you know, I'm going to go with doityourselflegal.com. Mm-hmm. Now, there probably is something like that. I don't know if there is or not. But I'm just saying, you know, the best authority needs acknowledged. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Learn his counsel. He is the authority in everything. And you and I don't know this or that. We don't know what all is involved with this or that, but he does. And we need to learn from him and put it all on him. So, three things. First of all, we have leave your cares. Number two, lean on Christ. Number three, learn his counsel. And then the last thing, leap at his command. You say, why leap? Well, because it started with L-E-A. That's why. Leap at his command. He shall direct thy paths. Leap at his command. He shall direct thy paths. You know, here's the thing. He will direct. And it won't be long. Stay with me now. It won't be long and you will arrive at this or that. It won't be long. Because he'll direct. No question about it. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Turn right. Turn left. Stop. Turn left. Sharp. Veer to your right. He orders the steps. And it won't, you say, oh yeah, but I need to see a sign that says this. Or I need to see a sign that says that. No, you don't. You just need to let him direct you. And pretty soon you'll be there and you'll say, wow, that was this. Or was this that. Anyway, there you are. You will have arrived at this. By the way, you'll get to that and you'll say, wow, this is the best 35 years of that I have ever seen in my life. Can't even imagine. Are you all with me on this? How about that? Anyway, he shall direct thy paths. And what a blessing it is. Now, again, you know, his direction, I say leap at his command, is turn right now. Turn left now. Pick up the pace now. Because this might be moving. That might be going, you know, at a little clip itself. You might have to catch up with it. You know? Slow down a little bit. Okay, time to stop. Be still. You've been chasing this or that and you forgot about me. Be still and know that I am God. So stop a little bit. Abide. Okay, now go straight. Turn right. Turn left. Yeah, but what about the unknown? What about trusting God? Amen. I've got a lot of this's and that's in my life that, you know, I stopped and I said, whoa, wait a minute. Bible college, there's one. God's call, there's one. Marriage, there's one. But you know, every time I've given it to God, every this, every that, once I'm there, and usually God does eventually show you this big sign, says, you are now at that. And you say, I sure am happy at that. I sure am blessed at that. That path was kind of interesting, but you know, some of those right turns, some of those left turns, some of those veering off, and some of those slowing down and speeding ups, and some of those things, you'd be amazed what was around that corner that you didn't go around. You would be amazed at some of the nasty stuff that was in the path. You'd be amazed what this can have in it. You'd be shocked at some of the things that contains. But ultimately, we just need him to direct. You know, we've gotten pretty used to GPSs. We've gotten pretty used to some have OnStar, and we got it with our lease, and got it for some special promotion they had, and you get on there and say give an address, and pretty soon they've got it programming your computer or whatever it is, and all of a sudden it's all on there, and it tells you that, you know, this, and shows all those kind of things. It's amazing how used to that we get, but we struggle so much with letting Him direct. And He will, if we'll let Him, leap at His command. Number one, leave your cares. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Number two, lean on Christ. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Number three, learn His counsel. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Number four, leap at His command. He shall direct thy paths. And then you're 75, 80 years old, and you say, well, I'll tell you what, this 25 years ago sure was good. Boy, that 40 years ago, that sure was good. God is so good to me. Oh, I remember this. Yeah, that's so good. And you know, today is the best that I've ever had in my life. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, wow. God did have a life plan for me, didn't He? And He does. He really does. This or that. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm one of those that has never been born again. I've never prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. And if I died right now, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure if I'm saved. If that's you today, we sure would like to pray for you. And I'm the only one looking right now. I'd like you to just raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Just slip it up. I want to pray for you. Slip up your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, young lady. What a blessing. Get saved today. Trust Christ. He loves you. Someone else should say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart today about something in my life as a Christian. God's dealing with me. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Many, many hands. Thank you. God bless you. Father, we love you and thank you again for the this's and the that's of life. And Lord, how you have so many wonderful things ahead for us. Help us, Lord, to do what you said in your word. And Lord, to have a life where we're at the right this and the right that when it's your time, when you planned, when it's exactly what you want us to have. And bless the invitation. Help this one that's not saved to get saved today. And bless Christians, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 315 in your hymnal, 315. God's speaking to your heart today. As we sing, if you need to come and get saved, come and get saved right now. If you're a Christian, you want to pray, you come. As we sing, God speak to your heart.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love.
Instruments continue to play, heads bowed, eyes closed. You have a decision to make. If you're not sure you're saved, come on right now. Nobody's looking. I'm looking. Nobody else. God's speaking to your heart about salvation. If you want to be saved, come on right now. Just come. Someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how to be saved. You come. Well, it's the most important decision we make. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. That's why you're here today. God's speaking to your heart, Christian. Something you need to pray about. Well, just this and that. It's right in front. Yes, it is. God knows. He knows. Would you yield to Him? Would you let Him guide? Would you let Him direct? Any others need to come? Still time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Folks are praying. Still time if you have a decision to make. Amen. All right. Well, we have ensemble practice today at 4:30, choir at 5, and all the children's choir as well. Teens meet at 5, and church, of course, at 6. Don't forget men's prayer time back by my office, ladies' prayer time by the fellowship hall down in the office there. And that's all at 5 o'clock, and then, of course, 6 o'clock. A lot of activities. Lord's Supper tonight, if you have children that need to have an explanation there, make sure you do that. And then afterwards, some fellowship. We're going to have the Robs are going to be presenting their work to us tonight. Looking forward to that. And so it's going to be a good night, good service. And then, of course, fellowship afterwards. That'll be good. And Kathy's meeting. Are you excited about your meeting? Is that about the father-son breakfast? Bacon? Eggs? Sausage? Pancakes? Glory to God. Will I be off my diet then? I will? I can't see. I don't have my glasses on. Sounds good. Anything I want? Bacon, eggs, sausage, pancakes. All right. Let's close in prayer. Don, come and close, please.
Our Father, we do thank you that you are interested in every detail of our life. And that you have a plan for every step of our life if we would but surrender to you and follow in your footsteps. Father, may we do that as we leave this room this morning. If there's one yet that doesn't know Christ personally, doesn't know heaven as their eternal home, they'd seek someone out and make that decision before they leave today. But as we go, Father, may we follow in your footsteps and be the shining light to guide others in that path. And may you receive the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name.